A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through the Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. He said this and then told them, Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him. So the disciples said to him, Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go to die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister, Mary, secretly, saying, The teacher is here and is asking for you. As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. On this, the fifth Sunday of Lent, we are presented with arguably the greatest miracle recorded in any of the four Gospels. In this scene that John gives us in great detail, we have the God-man Jesus Christ manifesting himself, expressing himself from the fullness of his humanity as well as his divinity. And this is for two primary reasons. Number one, to confirm those who had come to believe in him as the one sent by God for the salvation of the world. And number two, to prepare the hearts of his believers then and for all times for what was to happen to him in Jerusalem. Namely, his death, his placement in the tomb, and his rising up on the third day. So what would this have meant for first century Jews? That Lazarus would have been in the tomb for 4 days. This is highlighted. This is specified. John says this two times, putting it first for himself, because we know the messengers were sent 2 days prior. And Jesus, we're told, stayed on for two more days. He waited. And we're told the reason why is because he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now, do you like that kind of love? What is it that Jesus wants us to get in touch with? He wants to let us understand that more than dealing with the illnesses that can bring about death, he wants at this time to show that he has the power over life and death within himself, not only when he comes back in glory, but while on this earth in the human nature he has assumed. And so we also gain insight when we look at the lives of the saints. You read about the lives of the saints and you say, well, I want to be a saint. I mean, you're inspired and I'm inspired. I want to be a saint. And what do we begin to realize when we look at the lives of the saints? Such as St. John Paul II, St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We have these saints, they suffer greatly. It seems like the more they do for the glory of God, the more they suffer. And this is the case. God gives those whom he favors, whom he has a great affinity for, those who willingly and receive those portions of the cross of Christ to be a part of in a most particular way in the salvific work, the way God rewards that soul is allowing them to even be more immersed in the suffering because he intends to give them great glory in the age to come. So very often we are heartbroken when we see our loved ones, particularly those who are very upstanding, faith-filled, inspiring, and we say, gosh, how is it that God is letting this happen to this person? But we don't understand the full import of the mysterious ways of God. So as we have it presented, Jesus resolutely returns to Judea despite the objections of his disciples because they are realizing things have become dangerous in Judea. Now, the translation we have says the Jews wanted to kill him, but that's not all Jews. These are the Judeans in the southern kingdom in Jerusalem who had rejected Jesus because he came from Galilee, but he didn't come from Galilee. He came from Nazareth. We know this, but of course, I mean, Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem, but lived in Nazareth with his mother and father, Joseph. But they are just totally outdone by Jesus because he's exposing the hypocrisy through his words, but especially in his deeds. So they are not to be understood as all Jews because Martha, Mary, Lazarus, all of these people were Jews, religious Jews, faithful Jews. But this was like a political sect that were just bent on doing what they wanted to do for their own ambition and position. So as we see it play out, Jesus is confronted first by Martha, true to form. Martha is the active one. Mary, the one who is more contemplative, much more homebody, ready to stay and just sit and ponder. And we see how John presents the description of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus as the friends of Jesus. He assumes that we have familiarity. We know of this already from the revelation of the gospel. Luke gives us the other account of when Martha welcomes Jesus in, and then we have the scene, Martha, Martha, you know, you're anxious. Mary has chosen the better part. It's not going to be taken from her. So this is also something to bear in mind as we see how John confirms the same thing Luke presents. Martha, very much the A personality, type A personality, active, doing, very happy to serve. And Mary, very much ready to receive and be a companion and share and listen, so forth, in conversation. But Martha comes to Jesus and she's making the same mistake. Both her and Mary make the same mistake as some in the crowd when Jesus appears at the tomb and weeps. And what is that? They assume that if Jesus really loves someone, he would not allow them to suffer to the extent that they would actually die, that he would prevent their death. But that is not the case. We heard last week when the question was raised about the man born blind. Why is it, Lord, that this man is born blind? Is it because he's suffering from his mother and father's sins or his own? And Jesus says, for neither. For God allows for such so that his glory might be manifested through this situation. Now, we know of the man who was for 38 years, he was an invalid. He couldn't, he would try to go to the pool in Bethesda, but nobody would bring him. And Jesus came up to him and asked him, do you want to be well? And he went on talking about having his pity party, telling him why he can't make it. And so forth. Jesus says, get up, take up your mat. And he goes and he washes. And Jesus went and found him and said, now go and make sure that you do not sin anymore, for your condition could be worse the next time. So in that case, that guy's issue, his situation, was pertaining to his sin. But it's not always the case that someone's sufferings is relative to their sins. And so we have the situation set. Jesus, on purpose, allows this illness to take its course, and he even tells the disciples, this illness is not unto death, not an eternal death, but for the glory of God. And so Martha, remonstrating a little bit with the Lord, he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother will rise. I know he will. She's expressing the sentiment, yes, at the end, there will be the general judgment. Everybody will be raised up. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's that. And now she goes to get her sister Mary. Now, Jesus never told her to go and get Mary. Did you notice that? But she says, the master wants you. Go and see. And so Mary goes. And the same expression is there. Where have you laid him? Jesus is very saddened at this point. And Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the entire New Testament. Why does Jesus weep? To give us permission to weep in the face of the greatest evil we suffer as a human people, death. He weeps at this. He's perturbed, he's angry that death is a part of the situation. And it's in this way that he wants us to realize, and he wants to confirm us, he wants to show us that he came not only to bring about healing in the body and in the soul, but he also came primarily to deal with death. And he will do that with his own death. He will destroy it, eternal death. So that now we see how even Jesus refers to the reality of Lazarus. He says, Lazarus is asleep, and I want to go and awaken him. Remember the daughter of the synagogue official Jairus. She's only asleep, and they ridiculed Jesus, and he ran them all out. Talitha cum, little girl, arise. But this would be the definitive miracle because the Jews did not embalm the bodies. In ancient times, only the Egyptians embalmed their dead. So after the third day, it was believed in the Mishnah, the collection of the legal documents for the Jews, it has in it that it's believed that the soul departs the body by the third day, wherein after the third day, the corruption, the decay of the body would take place. So Jesus is not only showing us that he has the power over death, but even the effects of death, its corruption, its deterioration, he can control all things. And so he makes it the point. Martha says, as we have said, roll the stone. The stone is rolled. He cries out, Lazarus, come out. And immediately Lazarus comes forth, wrapped from head to toe. Notice again, John giving us these details. He's showing us this, Jesus calling him forth as a friend, commanding him as the Lord, come out. And so that all those in the community would recognize him as the one that was placed in that tomb. Untie him now. Let him go. We are being invited today to consider what in our lives needs to be unbound. Who needs to be unbound? Who needs to be loosed? Perhaps it's ourselves. Maybe that's why we hold some people in our lives maybe in a certain way that's difficult. It's difficult to reconcile or to forgive. Not that you can always be able to be in the same way with them anymore. That's not what forgiveness and love entails. You're not always going to feel good about people, like them. It's not about that. It's willing what God wants for them because they are the child of God just like you and I. But perhaps even greater for us to consider as we move towards the events of Jerusalem, the Holy Week. Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? We can probably, I believe most Christians believe that Jesus rose bodily and from the grave, glorified. But what about us? Would that be the case for us? Yes, it will. This is why he waits as he does, to show us that he has this power. When he speaks, it happens. This is the word of God. And it's for you and I today to really reflect and consider how we have become the child of light in baptism, and how have we been living in this light? Have we become distant from the Lord because of the trials and tribulations that come to us as a result of being in Christ? But the Spirit of Christ is in us, the Spirit of God. And we hear how Ezekiel in the 37th chapter today, "O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people." Not only at the last day, but in time, before the end of all things, so that there can be no question whatsoever. This is the revelation of God for us today, on this fifth Sunday of Lent. Let us bear in mind the great works of God and the witness of John's gospel, which by virtue of the fact that he goes into such detail about it, only confirms that this miracle truly happened. It happened as he describes it from point to point to point. It was beneficial for them then, and it's most certainly beneficial to us now. God love you.